Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy to have you along. Local Matters for a Friday. I'm your host, Dwight Henry. Delighted to have in studio with me today, not only a man that I call a friend and a Christian brother, but involved in a very important ministry. Mike Womack is with me. And Mike, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. I know you cover a lot of ground, literally, and appreciate you stopping by.
I am thankful for the invite.
Mike, I want to talk about this ministry you're involved in, Feed America First. I want to talk about how how the Lord called you into ministry in the first place, and a lot of ground to cover. We have in 24 minutes or so, but I feel like I'd be derelict in our discussion if I didn't talk about your daughter, your son-in-law, and the miracle that they just experienced not too many weeks ago. And I kind of set the table for you.
Okay.
Not too many weeks ago, your daughter and your new son-in-law got married in our church, Living Hope. You did the officiating. They went off to a honeymoon and enjoyed that. Not too many days after the honeymoon, very serious automobile accident your son-in-law was involved in. My wife and I were getting news. We first got the news, a couple of broken ankles. Then we got news, maybe it was legs, and then some bone marrow went to the brain. And next thing we knew, boom, 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 we hit our knees praying. We heard that he was on life support, 10% chance of living. And they just got married, just got back from the honeymoon. And so kind of pick it up there and finish the story. It's a great one.
Yeah, they had been back from their honeymoon for 2 days, and Aaron works in Cherokee, North Carolina, and he was driving back to where their home was at the time, Fletcher, North Carolina. And it was raining pretty hard that day, and a car coming towards him came across two lanes of traffic, a median and another lane of traffic, and Aaron T-boned him. Apparently, he was out for a little while, but when he came to, the rescue people were there trying to get him cut out of the car. And so he had enough mindset to make a phone call. So he just hit send to the last number he called, which happened to be his dad. And his mom answered the phone, and he didn't want his mom to know what was going on. So he asked for his dad, and he told his dad what was going on. And he said, "Son, I'm coming right to you. Where are you?" And by that time, mom knows there's something wrong. Alicia knows there's something wrong.
Alicia's your daughter, his wife.
Alicia's my daughter. And so they get him out of the car, cut him out of the car, and start heading to the hospital. They were going to go to a local hospital to start out with, and then decided the best thing to do was to take him to Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina, which was about 35, 40 minutes away. And when they got him there, Aaron was talking. My oldest daughter and I headed that way, and we got there before the surgery, and everything looked normal. He did have a crushed ankle. He had broke his tibia. I'm probably going to mispronounce this, but he broke his tibia and his fibia and his femur. Plus, his ankle was just crushed. So they went in to do all the different surgery they needed to do, and they came out and said the surgery was a success. So my other daughter and I headed home. By the time we got back to Crossville, my wife called and she said, "Something's terribly wrong. You're going to have to go back. He's not waking up." And so I ran home real quick because my daughter's a paramedic and had to drop her off, and picked up my wife and my youngest daughter, and we headed back to Asheville.
Wow.
And got up there, and a phenomenon happened that the hospital had only seen one other time. And when you break a huge bone like the femur or the pelvic bone, the bone marrow can escape and fatty embolisms can go to the brain. Typically, your heart or your lungs will stop it. But in Aaron's situation, for that day, it did not. So it caused mini-like strokes, what they call starburst in his brain. And he did slip into a coma. And he was there. He was in a coma for a week before he ever started showing any kind of... they put him on a brain monitor. He was showing brain activity and things like that. But it was a week before we started to see any kind of, you know, life, so to speak. You know, every once in a while he would open his eyes, but it was, you know, the light was on, but nobody was home kind of thing. But
sure.
But watching my daughter, when they came in the room to start out with, talking about that they only gave him a 10% chance of living.
After it seemed like a couple of broken ankles initially,
to watch her stand on the faith that I know she has.
Yeah.
And rebuke that in Jesus' name. And
yeah.
Say, that's not happening. This love no. story does not end here. And we don't accept that. The great physician's in control. And he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then for a week, she just stood on that. No one could come in the room and speak anything negative. I stayed there with her for 13 days and watched her kick doctors out of the room if necessary. No, I mean, they would negative come in. Speak.
And let me interject real quickly and say we're happy to have you with us. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry. Mike Womack is my guest today with Feed America First, and we're talking about a miracle that his daughter and son-in-law, who recently got married, had, and as it relates to an automobile accident. So she's in the room and saying, you're not going to say negative things. She had, my understanding is, Mike, your daughter had praise and worship music going into his ear all the time,
right.
Standing in faith, wouldn't let people say anything, words of fear, words of doubt, were not going to happen as far as Alicia's concerned.
Correct. She did that, and on a Wednesday, this all happened on a Tuesday. On the following Wednesday, typically my morning started off being over there in the hospital room with her at 6 a.m., and that morning I got there around 6, brought her breakfast, and the respiratory therapist came in, and she said, Myron, you look a little more alert today, and he turned his head towards her, and then Alicia runs over to where he's at and asks him, he said, Aaron, if you can hear me, blink three times. And he blinks three times. And then it was almost like having a little puppy that could do the tricks.
I love it. I love it.
We were wearing him out. Stick your tongue out. And so the next week or so, it wasn't a week, the next 3 or 4 days, there was a lot of progression. They were, the hospital staff was very great to us. They're very gracious and loving on us. But they were also cautiously optimistic, as they kept saying. And we're like, no, this isn't cautiously optimistic to be. This is happening.
Yeah.
And to watch what happened the next 3 or 4 days, to watch him just come back to life. And they said, wow. It would take weeks, possibly months, maybe never. And to watch God move in that kind of fashion. And when he left the ICU to go just to the trauma unit, the doctors and the nurses just celebrated. They gave them a parade. They called them their little miracle.
No kidding. Wow.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And, I remember a Facebook page was created. And with memory serves, Mike, I could be wrong, 3,000 people committed to praying for him on a regular basis. Is that number right?
Correct. Now I think it's probably pushing 7,000.
No kidding.
They've had a couple different posts that had over 100,000 interactions. It's really been incredible. And in fact, today my wife told me of a story that she was talking to a lady that had been following people all over, not only our country, but other countries.
The world.
Had been following. But she ran into a lady today and she said, you're Alicia's mom. I need to tell you, I was going through something not near as bad as what Alicia was going through, but watching her faith help me get through my situation.
Wow.
So it's been an amazing thing to stand back as her dad and watch this all take place.
And Alicia, 20, how old?
She's 27.
But, you know, of course, you're in ministry, but I've heard you say one time, you and Alicia have been, quote-unquote, ministry partners for 14 years.
Correct.
So she's been brought up with the Word. She's been brought up about knowing about faith, trusting in God. And, boy, as a 27-year-old, I had the chance to stand on it and did.
Right.
And I guess the message, Mike, and I just praise God for that. I mean, it's just from something that didn't look all that serious, then to a 10% chance of survival, then coming back after 7 or 8 days. No one can doubt that it's a miracle of God. And I guess what that would say, Mike, to our audience today is truly, it's a cliche almost, but it is true that nothing is impossible with God. And this testimony is going to stay with them the rest of their life.
Absolutely. They have a lot of sharing to do. Alicia kept promising God that when you bring us through this, not if you bring us through this, but when you bring us through this, we will shout from the mountaintops for what you've done, because there's a difference between standing on the promises of God and walking in the promises of God.
Yeah.
And she did just that. She walked in them.
And today Aaron is out of the hospital.
He's out of the hospital. He's home. He's going through rehab. It's going to be 8 to 10 more weeks before he can put pressure on that ankle. But I helped move him in last weekend to their house, and he's doing well. They think that probably the next 3 or 4 weeks he can go back to work. on a light duty basis. It's I don't know. It's just an amazing thing every time I see him.
Wow. Well, I just felt like we needed to share that to encourage some people who are listening right now who may be looking at a situation in their life. It might be something like that. It might be a relationship. It might be a business. It might be financial. It might be physical. But God's promises are yes and amen, and he's faithful and true to his word.
Yeah, and if you're out there and you are going through that, a good way to go and to kind of follow, look back and see what happened, you can go on to Facebook and look at Team Aaron Ducker. D-U-C-K-E-R, and kind of follow not only where they are now, but go back and look at what God has done so that you can get, maybe you need a breath. Maybe God needs to breathe life into you, and maybe through what they have walked through, you can get a breath yourself.
Wow, what a testimony. Mike, when we come back, I want to talk about your ministry, how God called you into serving him, and specifically, I want to talk about Feed America First. Is that okay?
Sure, great.
Back in a moment. Stay with us. This is Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We're back on Local Matters. Happy to have you with us. I'm your host, Dwight Henry. My guest today, Mike Womack, and we just heard about a tremendous miracle that had happened involving his daughter and son-in-law shortly after their marriage. Hope you heard that. Boy, how encouraging it is, and we hope it encourages their audience who may be facing some difficulties in their life. Mike, you've been involved in ministry for a long time, and we do want to talk about Feed America First before we finish the show today and talk about how people might get involved in that and exactly what that is. But talk about you're raising a little bit and how God called you into to serving him in the first place.
Well, I'm from Cookeville. I grew up at Eastwood Baptist Church there on Old Kentucky Road here in Cookeville, where my grandfather pastored there for 17 years. Raymond White.
There you go.
And
a lot of people have been here for a while and know that name.
Yeah. Yeah. I received Christ when I was 7 as far as making the walk to the altar. I think I was more like 12 before I really understood what God wanted to do in my life. And to be honest with you, Dwight, I wasn't real excited about it. Being a preacher's kid, although he was my grandfather, he raised me. But being a preacher's kid, ministry is not easy.
And, oh, my goodness, no.
You know, and watching him with such class still go through the things he went through.
So you were raised by your grandfather?
Correct.
Okay.
I just didn't want any part of it.
I understand.
So, but after Sherry and I got married, I'll never forget where we were. Of course, Cookeville looked a little different back then. It would have been in 1995. I was at the red light there at Wendy's right there on Jefferson by the interstate.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting there, and I kept hearing this voice. And finally, I just was kind of looking around. It was just Sherry and I in the car. And I looked over, and I said, "Are you talking to me?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Okay." And then I kept hearing this voice get a little louder, and finally I could understand what it was saying. It was like, "Are you tired of running?"
Whoa.
And
you audibly heard that in your
heart?
Audibly
heard it. Okay. Audibly heard it. And I looked at her and I said, "Why did you ask me that?" And she said, "You're crazy. I didn't ask you anything."
And you just got married?
No, we had been married.
Oh, you were married. We got
married in 1990, so we'd been married a while.
Okay.
Had been running from the call, didn't want any part of it. Was miserable in life because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And but at that point, surrendered to that call of ministry. And the first church that I ever served at was Midway Baptist Church, right down from Eastwood,
yeah,
on Old Kentucky Road.
Same road.
As a youth pastor, had no idea what I was doing, and all I knew to do was love on those kids and try to help them not make the mistakes I'd made.
Oh.
So spent probably now being in ministry 23 years, probably spent 10 of those years in student ministry. Still have a heart for student ministry, love working with teenagers and who they are. And when that light bulb comes on, those moments when they realize that God is real,
wow,
and that he wants to move in their life, has been quite the joy in life. So, but you know, now serving at the Experience Church here in Cookeville, as well as filling in on Sundays right now at Bethlehem United Methodist Church in right outside of Livingston. So,
well, now talk about Experience and what's happening there, and that, folks who might be interested in worshiping there being a part of it.
Yeah, the Experience Church, we started last October, and we had been serving as the senior pastor of the Bridge Community Church in Livingston. And we really wanted to come home and really felt like God had called us to reach out to those people that had been hurt in church, which we all have, and had finally decided to give up on God, which God never hurt them. It was Mike or Dwight that hurt them. It was never God.
Yeah.
And he kind of made it clear to us that we were to reach those people. And so we started a church, and we've met in several different places, and doors have opened and doors have closed,
sure,
as far as where we've met at. And then finally, when the last door closed, we were meeting at a local hotel on Sunday mornings in one of their conference rooms. The Lord reminded me that he never told me it had to be on Sundays. So we started meeting on Friday nights at our house.
Wow.
And almost turned it into a life group kind of setting.
Sure.
And a lot of times the Friday nights, and now with football season, it's a little harder to do. We have to take some Friday nights off. But it's an opportunity for people to come in and be loved on, have a meal, and sometimes, I hate to use these words, but kind of just throw up. You know, some things are going on in their life. They need to get it off their chest.
Sure, absolutely.
And just take an opportunity to love on them. And that's kind of what we do with the Experience Church. I have no expectations. I just know that's what God's called us to do. And we'll stay there and do it the way we're doing it until he tells us to do it differently.
You know, there's probably somebody listening and say, wow, I'd like to be a part of that group. I'd like to drop in and have the experience from,
sure,
Friday or whenever you're meeting. How can they find you? What's the best way to locate you?
Probably, I don't mind at all giving my phone number out. My cell number is 931-265-5878. Or if you feel more comfortable emailing, you can email me at Mike Womack, that's WOMACK, at feedamericafirst.com. Find me on Facebook, Instagram. We do all the social media stuff like everyone says you're supposed to do these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I'm not sure I'm doing the right things on them, but try to do what I can. So we're pretty easy to find.
So for somebody who just wants a group to encourage them or maybe add to that group and be able to, as you say, vent or throw up or share what's going on in their mind and in their heart and have a good meal and yeah, in a relaxed kind of fashion and with people who think alike or maybe don't think alike totally.
Right.
But that's if you want to have that experience, reach out to Mike. I know that he'd be a blessing to you, and you'd be blessed to be a part of that group. Really glad to have in studio with us today my friend, my Christian brother, pastor. And Mike, I don't even know your exact title with Feed America First. Right? Are you director, executive director?
I am the executive
potentate,
director.
Potentate, king? Or what is I see the crown over there.
Head flunky, whatever you need.
Whatever
me to
it
do.
Is, yeah.
My title is executive director.
And for those, and I'm sure people in our audience who maybe some know a lot about Feed America First, some maybe have heard the name and don't know much about what you do, how you do it. Give us the mission a little bit about the reason for being, if you will, for Feed America First.
Well, Feed America First was founded by Tom Henry in 2000 out of a Bible study in his church. He had retired from the restaurant business and felt like he needed to do something of worth in life. And since he knew the food the food business fairly well, he thought, well, let's go that route. And for the first year, he actually worked out of a pole barn in Savannah, Tennessee, and actually lived at a homeless shelter during the week. He lived in Franklin, but would travel down there during the week and live in a homeless shelter to start Feed America First.
Wow.
Crazy story.
Wow. And what did he hope to accomplish? Who did he hope to reach? And how's all that grown and changed?
Well, the idea then, of course, was to, you know, feed anyone that was hungry. And he had some friends and connections there. That's why it started in Savannah, Tennessee. Feed America First now has grown into an organization. We're a hunger relief organization. We're 501c3, nonprofit, faith-based. We're based out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Our number one program right now is we provide food to those food pantries, churches, organizations that are feeding the hungry. We're on the bulk side. We do a couple of different things a year where we're actually handing out to the end result, the people that are you know, needing the food. But our typical program is just providing food for those food pantries.
Yeah. And you're involved. You got some churches. I know our church, Living Hope, is involved with Feed America First. Talk about that part of it.
Yeah, we provide about 1 million pounds of food a year to the Cookeville, Putnam County area. We've got about 6 or 7 partners that is here. We have over 220 now partner agencies that we work with. Through them, there's about 40,000 families a month that depend on us to make sure we get them food. And this year we're on task to probably give away about 20 million pounds of food. But probably two of the craziest God numbers that I'm so proud of is for every dollar that we receive in donation, we can provide 10 to 15 meals. And also with that dollar, we're a 98-2 company, which means for every dollar we receive, 98 cents of that goes to the ministry.
No kidding. So like 2%
overhead. 2%
overhead. That is almost unheard of.
Well, you know, a successful nonprofit is considered to be 80-20.
Yeah.
So we're 98-2. That's a God story. We can't take credit for that.
Wow.
But
so 98 cents out of every dollar goes to getting food in someone's stomach.
Right. It's quite the honor. We work with, you know, people say, where do you get your food at? We get it from a lot of sources, places that are either they've overproduced food or they've got something that's going close to date. It can be grocery stores, but typically we work on such a high volume that it's with the places that are bringing food to the grocery stores, the manufacturers and things like that. And typically it's tractor trailer loads of stuff coming into our warehouse, and we're not interested in being a storehouse, so we move it very, very quickly.
Yeah, and you told me earlier your offices are in Murfreesboro, but you cover 50-plus counties in Tennessee and some in other states.
We do. If you were to take about 200-mile circle around Murfreesboro, that's about what we cover. And we're looking to we've had a warehouse donation here. With Freddie Duncan, Freddie's offered us some space that we can use. That we're looking at trying to do a little bit more here. It's home to me, so I want to do more here. But we 2 weeks ago we did a food giveaway at Salem Church and fed about 200 families in about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And then of course you were part of the one that we did at the fairgrounds.
Oh yeah.
In was it March or April? I can't remember when Easter was, but it was a cold, wet, nasty day.
But hundreds of volunteers.
We had 2,100 people, and I had over 150 volunteers to watch that kind of people. But that's what Cookeville is about. It's you know, people helping people, and it was a beautiful sight to be part of.
Two real quick questions. You got a couple of minutes left. Somebody that said, well, I'd like to be a volunteer in that kind of effort sometime, or I'd like to know more about Feed America First. Again, how would they find more information, Mike?
The easiest way would be, you know, you can find us on Facebook, like I said, Feed America First. Or you can go to feedamericafirst, all spelled out, .com. Go on our website. You can find me. You can look at the staff and go scroll through the staff. You can email me there, which is Mike Womack at feedamericafirst.com. Let me know you want to volunteer locally. We do things here in the Cookeville. We're going to have another giveaway on November 9th in Baxter. So that's something coming up that you could be part of, or if you're in the Murfreesboro area, or if you have a team building event. If you're a corporation around here and you want a team building event, we can do something like that. But we're always looking for donations, obviously food, but also monetarily, because it costs money to do this.
Sure. Take a minute, and we'll put you on the spot a little bit. What do you know about God now that it would have been helpful to know years ago?
I think probably, you know, I think more than anything is stop putting him in a box.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in the church that I grew up in, the foundation that I was given was great, you know, scriptural knowledge and all those things. But sometimes in a church, even, we can put God in a box. There is absolutely nothing that God can't and will not do for his children.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yes,
this has been fun.
Thank
Let's do it again.
Absolutely.
Mike Womack has been my guest today, director of Feed America First, and we appreciate you being with us this afternoon on Local Matters.